I love this community. I'm so grateful to be the pastor here. I love it. I love it. I love it. We're in this powerhouse series called Everyday Matter. Man, if you got one of these, if you didn't get one of these, grab one of these, grab a couple of these, put it on your fridge, put it on your mirror, put it on your dashboard, that you are reminded that today matters, that every day that God gives me breath, it matters. And when we come to a place, even today, when we begin to speak today and begin to minister today, man, I need you. I need you all in this. It's going to be, honestly, it's going to be one of those messages. But man, if you plug into this, you're going to walk out and be reminded again, because we, honestly, when we talk about this, we're going to talk about time and how time just slips away. But what would happen if, honestly, if every single morning you woke up and you really came to a place to say, this is the day the Lord hath made, and I shall rejoice and be glad in it. And you begin to mark everyday matters, today matters. Because I think there's something that we really can take for granted, and it's time. And when you come to a place to realize, man, time is something that God has given us as a gift, and it is to be valued as what it is, it's time. And it's something that when it's used up, it's used up. So you can go make money and you can waste money. Unfortunately, you can waste money, and then you can go back and you can remake more money. But when it comes to time, you folks, when we really get the point that we can never relive yesterday, we never get yesterday back, ever. When today is over, we cannot have today back. And I'm asking you to hear this, because it's going to be one of those Sundays that when you walk out of this place, you're going to be thinking, and you're going to be in a place in your heart and in your mind. Say, man, I don't want to waste another hour. I don't want to waste another day. Because you don't know. You don't know what tomorrow holds. And when we really come to a place to really believe this is the day, today's the day that God has made. He's made for me today. He's given me breath in this specific time, in this specific season, in this specific moment, in this exact day, God's given me breath today. And this is the day that he has made. And today I will rejoice and be glad in it, because it is yet another day. And man, what happens when you begin to break it down to say today matters? And this whole series, man, you can get online, Living Out Truth, and catch up to this series. But today is about the actual today. Day. When you wake up, that day matters, and you can never do anything about yesterday. It is expired. It is gone. It is done. It's like an hourglass. Here's a picture of an hourglass. And we, you know, these hourglasses, they're in games, and you put them in board games, and then you flip it over to restart, and you have to let the whole thing expire, and then you. But when you really understand life as an hourglass, and you really understand time, when the sand is at the bottom, folks, that's it. There are no do-overs. And this isn't so much going to be that lighthearted message that I certainly love to bring, but I want this to be encouraging to you, that you would just begin to think for a moment, what am I doing with time? If I really come to a place to say every day really matters, and time is significant, and time is valuable, and time is a gift, I'm going to take you somewhere today in this. Man, it is my desire that the Spirit of God would draw you to a place to say, man, I can't, please hear this, man, I can't do anything about yesterday, but I do have today. I do have right now. And that matters. Father, please move in this place. God, please give me the words to speak. These are people are just amazing, God, and I'm on their time, and they choose to be here week after week, and I'm so honored by that, Father. I'm blessed by that. But God, in this moment right here, Father, give me the words to speak to every single person. God, I don't know what they've come in with. I don't know where they've been. I don't know what you have for them in their future and their plans and their desires, but God, I know that they're here right now, today, right now in your presence. And God, I'm asking that you'd move in this place and you begin to speak into their lives. God, please, please. Folks, I ask that you would ask God, God, I'm here. I'm asking that you would speak to me. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. On a matter of truth, we are very thankful This church is Pittsburgh Steeler country, just so you all know. Their offense was unstoppable. If they remain healthy, the Steelers, 19-0, baby, Super Bowl champs. Miami Dolphins are going to be all bummed out at the end of the year because the Pittsburgh Steelers is taking it to the record. I'm telling you, did you happen to see their offense? When they clicked, they couldn't be stopped. You got Bell, you got Brown, you got Big Ben, just absolutely crushing it on offense. I am so pumped for this season, folks. It's going to be great. And my heart breaks again for you Dallas fans. You Dallas fan, Jim, you ain't got a team. Brother, you have no team now. Again. Romo got hurt again, and I love Romo. I feel bad for him. But Dallas has no squad, man, again. You guys are no longer America's team because the Steelers are God's team. Just saying, that's all we're saying. Come on. Woo! Go Pittsburgh. Excellent. Come on, if you could turn with me to two places, please. Here we go. Come on, Lamentations and Ephesians 5. Lamentations is the Old Testament. Ephesians is the New Testament. If you've got your gadgets, you can go to the wireless password. It's Psalm 9017. But Lamentations, go to the Old Testament. Go to Psalms. You got Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. You got Song of Solomon, Isaiah, Jeremiah, and then Lamentations, Ezekiel, Daniel. So go to Psalms, turn right about six books. You'll find yourself in Lamentations. Lamentations is about five chapters. So it's not real long, but I want you to get there because I want you to see this. I want you to dig into this. I want you to read this. I want you to highlight some things in this. So Lamentations, Old Testament, go to Psalms and Proverbs. It's probably dead center. If you want Psalms and Proverbs, go to dead center of your scripture and then turn right about five or six books and you'll land right in Lamentations. Then Ephesians is New Testament towards the front. But I want to read something in Ecclesiastes when it comes to time. And it says this, there is an appointed time for everything. This is written by Solomon. This is a great book on wisdom. And he says this, there's an appointed time for everything. And there is a time for every event under heaven. A time to give birth and a time to die. And I was reading this and I was just thinking, a time to give birth. I mean, God doesn't mess around with this. There's a time to give birth and there's a time to die. But it just seems like there's a whole life to be lived in between there, right? I love this. He says this. There's an appointed time for everything. For everything has a season. And everything has an event that's under heaven and it's on a timetable. And there's a time to give birth. There's a time to give life. And there's a time to die. But isn't it amazing that on your date of birth, and there's a point that everyone will have a date of death unless Jesus returns. But in between the birth and the death, it just seems like this is such a quick verse. There's a time for birth. Ha! A time to die. Good luck. We kind of miss the whole middle. There's a time to live. There's a time to do life. There's a time to make decisions. And when you really begin to break down life and you really begin to break down seasons of life, yes, we're born and we're these amazing little babies, and that's only a season never to be lived again. And then you go into being a child that's out in the field and you're playing soccer and you're playing baseball and you're playing football and you're just whatever you're doing. And then you come to a point that you grow out of that. And then you come into your 10 years and you never get your 10 years back. And we have so many teenagers in this church. And I tell you what, being a teenager at one point in my life, you think it's just the longest season of your life. It just takes forever. You can't wait to be 16 so you can drive. Nobody else is excited about that except for you. You can't wait so you can drive. And then it seems like it takes forever to get to 18. And then to get into 20 and 21, it just seems, but then once you hit 21 and 22 and 23, and then here I'm 47 and you look back and say, man, teenage years, it was absolutely just a blink. I mean, personally, I have such regrets as a teenager that I wasn't out there on fire for Jesus. I wasn't out there winning people for Christ. I was out there doing what the world did, and I have such regret. And there's nothing you can do about it because you can't do a do-over. You can't. You just can't do a do-over in your teenage years. It is what it is, and that's it. And then you get into being a young adult and you live that life, and then you come into being married and finding the most amazing husband and finding the most amazing godly wife who loves Jesus and worships Jesus, and then you begin to live that season of your life, and there's this sometimes a longer season for some, but sometimes a very short season of just being married. Renee and I waited 5 years before we had our first, maybe 4 or 5 years, and it was a glorious time. We did that on purpose. It was a wonderful time of building that marriage and that foundation together. It was just fantastic. And then they showed up. And then parenting is a season of life. And it really is just a precious season because you just don't get that back. You just don't. We have a son who's 18. And man, I'm telling you, people say, oh, Sean, it's going to go quick. And when you're in the moment, you take that for granted. It goes in one ear and out the other. And we can tell young parents, man, your kids are growing up fast. And before you know it, they are going to be in college and they are going to be on their own. And as a young parent, you're like, oh, man, that would be great. It's just so long. And now all of a sudden it's here and you're like, man. But honestly, when we, Renee and I have done this, and I do believe that when you are on target and you come to grips with every day matters and you come to a place to say today matters and I'm going to live today to the fullest and I'm going to parent today the very best way that I can parent and I'm going to live in such a way, I'm telling you, I believe that you can live as a parent without regret in how you're parenting. Now listen, that doesn't mean without mistake. I have made mistakes as a parent, even with my 18-year-old, but I can say, Carter, man, you are on your own. We have done everything we could to lead you in righteousness and lead you in godliness and put you on the right path. We've been able to provide for you in a great way. And I tell you what, there's no regrets on how we've raised our son. No regrets. Time well spent. He wasn't neglected. It wasn't, I'm so busy. Everything put aside. We're focused on our kids. Renee made the decision to stay home. 4-year degree. Could have gone out and made some money. Made the decision early before even kids showed up. Listen, when kids show up, when they come, I'm staying home. It's important because it's seasonal. They're in and they're out. So we as parents, honestly, we come to a place to say we have no regrets. Mistakes, yes, plenty. But honestly, regrets, no, because we caught on to this early, that every day matters. We caught on to this early, that kids come and they go and they are seasonal, and what you do with them while you have them makes a difference in them. Man, you come to a place, and then many of you kids are out of the house, and many of you are in a place where you're now could be retired and you're living that whole season of life. And then you come into a point where you're seeing, man, there's a day and a season that I am born, and there's a season that death will come, and then there's this everything in between called life. And if you're at an age that is a retirement age, you could probably look back and say, wow, it was like a blink. What if we really hear from God today and what he says about time? That we need to value it as a gift and really not take it for granted. Lamentations says this, if you would find that, please. Lamentations 3, verse 21 says this. This I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. Come on, highlight hope, underline hope. This I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. I think, again, you hear me say it all the time, I think the one thing that this world needs most is hope. They need hope. There are so many hurting, broken people who have no hope, who are in a place of destitute, in a place of even coming to a point that wanted to take their life because they have no hope. They haven't come to a place to realize that today matters. Today's the day that God has given you. And I'm telling you what, I've had, even knowing where we're going in this message, knowing that this is the timing for this message, I've had a crazy week about situations in regards to time. One lady comes to me and says, my husband just this week got diagnosed with an incurable disease. Could be a year, maybe. And the next day, I'm working on a field and I have this lady come over and she begins to talk to me and says, Sean, can I just talk to you for a minute? And I recognized her from just a little bit. She would come here with a friend about 2 years ago. She would come with a friend. And she says, man, the enemy is just in my head. And today I feel like I should take my life. And you know, I'm just working on a softball field. I'm just raking out the water. And this young lady comes over to me and she just, with a friend, and she just begins to weep and begins to cry and say, would you please just pray for me? And I tell you what, I spent 20 minutes with her just speaking into her life and just hugging her and just praying with her and covering her, trying to get the enemy out of her head. She's got these amazing two little gifts running around in her home that are her amazing children, just trying to refocus. But man, when you begin to understand, people are hurting and people are broken. And this is what this says. Therefore, I have hope. Why do we come to places I have hope for the Lord's? Look at this. I want you to get this. Today, the Lord's loving kindness indeed never cease. His compassions, they never fail. Look at verse 23. For they are what? How often? Every day. His loving kindness and his compassion or his mercy is new every morning. What happens when we tap into that? What happens when the enemy tries to come and disturb? What happens when the enemy tries to come and get in our head that we come and battle with it and say, no, today God's loving kindness is new for me today. No, his compassion and his mercy is new. When? Today, this morning, his mercy is new. And it comes again tomorrow. And it comes again the next day. And day after day, you begin to refuel your hope because you can come to believe to say, today matters. This is the day the Lord hath made, and I shall rejoice, and I will be glad in it. Why is it that you can build your hope? Because he tells me that today, if I tap into him, his loving kindness and his mercy and his compassion is new for me today. And there is a hope that begins to be rebuilt. And I love this. For they are new every morning, and great is your faithfulness. He's crying out to God. Great is your faithfulness is new every morning. Your loving kindness and your compassion and your mercy and your faithfulness is new for me today. This morning, it was new. Tomorrow morning when I get up, I get a new dose of his love. I get a new dose of his mercy and his compassion. I get a new dose of his faithfulness because he is faithful and he is true. Great is your faithfulness. For the Lord is my portion, says my soul. This isn't surface level stuff, folks. When you get into the scripture, you see my soul. This is the deepest part of who we are. He's crying out from the depth of his soul. And he says this, the Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I have hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him and to the person who seeks him. Highlight verse 22, loving kindness. Highlight compassions. Highlight new every morning. Highlight faithfulness. Highlight I have hope in him. Highlight the Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the person who seeks him. See, look at this and say, where has my time been spent? When the enemy attacks and when I start getting in that place, when the world begins to overwhelm, when things just are not going my way, where is it that I put the attention of my soul? Can I come to a place to believe, God, you are faithful, and God, you are of loving kindness, and God, you are merciful for me? And I love the word mercy, and I love the word compassion, because it comes to a point when you really understand it. It has the ability and the power to come to a place to erase yesterday in regards to wrong, in regards to sin. That you come to a place to say, God, man, yesterday was a tough day. I battled in my mind. I battled in the flesh. But God, today I know that your mercy will never run out for me. Your compassion will never run out for me. God, your love for me can never fail. It can never cease. It can never be less than it's always been. And God, today, this morning, I tap into that because today's a new day. It's amazing. The power of his love, the power of his mercy, the power of his compassion, the power of his faithfulness, that it just begins to rebuild hope. It begins to rebuild hope. And this is what God says. I want you to see this. Psalm 118. This is the day the Lord hath made. This is what God says about the importance of today. This is why today, 24-hour period, today, is so important, because this is the day the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. O Lord, be gracious to us, for we have waited for you. Be their strength. How often? Every morning. You know what else you get to tap into every single day? Is his strength, that he would be our strength every morning, our salvation also in the time of distress. So teach us, I love this, teach us to number our days. This is a group. I want this community, church, that we would come to a place to understand what it is to number our days, to not let it just pass by, to look back and say, man, I have lost so much time because I haven't numbered my days. I haven't come to a place to realize the value of time. What a gift it is. You come to a place right here in Psalm 90, verse 12. Teach us to number our days. Because I think we all know that time can go quickly. It just keeps going. It just keeps going. The hourglass continues to flow and you can't flip it, man. You can't stop it. Time is something that takes no name, man. It just keeps going and it keeps going and it keeps going and it keeps going and it is not going to stop for you, for me, for anyone. So man, when wisdom, this is what wisdom tells us in Psalm 90, verse 12, that we may present what? You, a heart of wisdom. Or another version may say that we may get wisdom when we understand what it is to number our days. There is wisdom attached to valuing time. There's wisdom attached to valuing time. And you come to a point where even God says, today's important. Tomorrow when you wake up is important. And then when you come to a place, you see a Proverb 27:1, it says, don't boast on tomorrow, for you don't know what a day holds. Which we don't live in a place of being fearful that we don't have tomorrow, but the reality is you have no idea what could take place tomorrow. You have no idea the importance of this day, today, and valuing relationships, and valuing your spouse, and valuing your husband, and valuing your wife, and valuing your children while you have them. And you would begin to lay different things aside so that you can take time. Time comes and it goes and it doesn't stop for you and me. And I don't want to turn around and say, man, I wish I had more time. You ever hear that? Say, man, I wish there was 30 hours in a day. I'd get more done. You'd just fill 30 hours and then you'd be asking for 31. Man, I just don't have enough time in the day. Well, my idea is God, who created the 24-hour period, who understood there is night and there is day, who understands all things, gave us exactly enough time to do everything that we need to do that we were supposed to do within a 24-hour period. That's the way God set it up. And I want to look at a 24-hour period and say, God, I want to value this time. It's a gift because I can't get today back. I can't get the season of my life back. Listen, folks, yes, kids come and yes, they go, but there's a season that you have the ability to speak into their lives and to encourage and to build. And then there's a season that becomes much, much less limited, and it should be because they need to grow up and mature and tap into their husband or their wife and their understanding and their knowledge and do life together as husband and wife. So when you begin to really understand, seasons are short and time just keeps going forward. And I don't know what tomorrow holds. I'm not going to boast on tomorrow because I don't know if I have it tomorrow. And this isn't something to be scared of. This isn't to be walking in fear of, but it's just a simple reality. God is saying there, man, value today. You have today. Value today. Make the most of your today. Make the most of your time today. If you're a young person in this place, man, you're a teenager, make the most of your time today. Man, if you're a young adult and you're single, make the most of your time here. While you have that season of life, it is short. Make the most of that time. If you're in this place and you're seeking out a dating relationship, make the most of that time. Time is short. Time is short. And when you see this, time is short. I want to show you the next batch of scriptures here. I want you to see this. James 4:14. Again, this is what God says about time. Man, he makes it so clear. And this is, honestly, this is just a fraction of scripture of what God says on time. Yet you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. You are just a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. I mean, that just is kind of like a bummer. Like, oh, great. We're a vapor, man. We're here and we're gone. But the reality is, in the big picture of life, see, if you're in an older age, you can realize this. You can look back and say, man, it was quick. And time didn't stop for me. And you look at this, Psalm 39:5. Behold, you had made my days as a handbreadth and my lifetime. Look at this, lifetime from beginning to death. My lifetime is nothing in your sight. Surely every man at his best is a mere breath. Every man at his best is a breath. How many breaths do you think you take in a lifetime? In the big picture, in the big span of life, you're one of those breaths. In, out. That's life. Look at the next one. Psalm 102:11. My days are like a lengthened shadow. I wither away like grass. Man is like a mere breath. His days are like a passing shadow. Gang, when we allow this to dig in and we allow this to really make a point this morning in our lives that every day does matter. And what would it look like if we actually lived in such a way that today was valuable? And the time we spend today with husband and wife, the time we spend today with our children, the time we spend today with our friends and relationships, the time we spend today being a teenager, the time we spend today as a young adult, the time that we spend today, you can't get back tomorrow. And there's another thing that happened this week, which was just heartbreaking. I get a text Thursday morning about a young lady who I knew growing up in high school, and I knew her older sisters, and friend was dating one of her sisters, and would spend weekend after weekend after weekend at their home, and her stepmom actually comes to this church. And she's a young mom in her 40s, and she has four children, 21, 14, 13, and 10. Was found dead in her driveway. And here, this is a public statement. I want to read this to you because this is what her 13-year-old writes. And he's just come to a point to say, man, have I taken time for granted? Have I understood the value of time? Because the truth is this, folks, we don't know what tomorrow looks like. We don't know what next week looks like. We don't know what next year looks like. And she writes this. This is the worst day of my life. I never thought this would happen. I lost a big piece of me today, and it will never be filled. I can't describe how I feel right now. And then she says, this is what caught my attention. I just wish I could turn back time. I just wish I could turn back time. I just wonder how many people in this room right here would say, man, I just wish I could turn back time because I'd do it different. I just wish that I could have that season back. Can I just encourage us all in this church to live today like today matters? Live today as it's valuable and it's a gift. And then we'll wake up tomorrow, man. Tomorrow is a new day. His mercies are new. His compassion is new. His loving kindness is new. We get new strength tomorrow. And tomorrow is a new day that tomorrow values. This is the day the Lord hath made. I shall rejoice and be glad in it. And she goes into a point to say, I wish I could turn back time because I wasn't ready for this. And I'm not ready for this. I didn't just lose my mom. I lost my best friend. The only person that can comfort me through anything and everything. You are my best friend, and I don't know what I'm going to do without you. But I'll stay strong because I know that's what you would want. I love you and I'll miss you forever. Gang, it is things like this that come to a point that remind us that today matters. And that we would make the most of our every opportunity. That we would make the most. We don't have time to go to Ephesians 5, but Ephesians 5 is real simple. It says, be wise, and it says, make the most of your every opportunity. Make the most of your time. The word time is actually there in the New American Standard. It says, we need to live with wisdom. We need to be wise, and we need to make the most of our time. Every opportunity that we have. You come to a point to say, man, have I allowed time to slip away? Am I one who's taken advantage of time? Do I am one to think that I'd certainly, man, I'll handle that next year. I'll take care of that tomorrow. I'll love on them tomorrow. I'll ask forgiveness tomorrow. I'll have another day to do that. I mean, I think that every single one of us can go through a point and begin to really understand from people that we know who've lost loved ones unexpectedly. But what would they say? I've heard it as a pastor. I sit down with these people over and over. I mean, if I had more time, if I knew this was going to happen, I'd have done it different. But what about you in your seat today? Have you honestly lived your best in the time that you have? Or do you say, man, I know I've got more time? Folks, we live in a time that's always been the same time. People need Jesus. That's never changed and it's never going to change. People need Jesus. Are we as a church making the very most of our time as a congregation to reach this region, to reach the world, to reach the lost, to reach those who hurt, to reach those who are depressed, to reach those who are so broken? And say, Jesus is the answer, and today's the day. Today's the day you can have hope. Today's the day that you would tap into His love and His kindness to know that in that you can have hope, and it's new this morning. It's new today. Maybe you're in this place and you're like, Sean, man, my past is broken. My yesterday is in shambles. Would you please hear me? God says, today, my love is here for you this morning. My compassion is here for you this morning. My mercy is here for you this morning. Yeah, but Sean, you don't know my past. You don't know the life that I've lived. You don't know where I've been. Listen, I don't want to, don't need to. God knows all things. He already knows it. You know what He says? He says, my mercy's for you. My compassion's new today for you. God is always faithful. He's always true. Would you just bow your heads just for a minute, please? Can you trust His word this morning? Can you just quickly just do just this quick recap in your heart? And I believe the Holy Spirit has drawn you into this point right here. That you say, I'm not wasting any more time. God, you've made it so clear to me. Life comes in seasons, and the season of my life is a short season. Whether it's being a teenager, whether it's being a parent, whether it's this marriage that we have, that we love, that we treasure, that we love our husbands, we love our wives, and we come to a point and say, man, I don't want to take that time for granted. I want to build on that and make today matter in my marriage, in my home, in my relationship. I want to make today matter in my kids' lives. I don't want to live a should've. I could've. Why didn't I spend more time? That's not how we're called to live. God makes it so clear. Value time. Man, if you're at a young age, you are in a privileged seat. You are in a place where today you can make a decision. I'm going to live with Psalm 118 in my heart. This is the day the Lord hath made, and I will rejoice, and I'll be glad today. Today, every day, today's a new day. Could you imagine if you could redo that and live in such a way that every day was valuable? With the relationships, with the friendships, with the dating relationship, with a husband, with a wife, with parenting, you come to a point to say, I have no regrets. Matter of fact, I'm ready to go home to Jesus because I've lived my life. And every day mattered. Every day mattered. I knew the Bible said in Ecclesiastes 3, there's a day to be born and there's a day to die. But that little thing in between, I lived. I lived. And it's wonderful because I have the opportunity when they bring this young lady back here, they've asked if I would do her service here. She's lived in Florida for many years, and they said, Sean, we want you to honor her. I can't wait to speak into my friends' lives. It's a privilege, folks. What if you're in this place And do you know Jesus? Do you have Christ in your life? Because today makes a difference for you. Do you have Jesus in your life? Because today makes a difference for you. That you would come to a place to say, I need Jesus. I need to confess that He is Lord. I need to come to a point to say, God, I know that I'm distant from You and I'm far from You because of sin. But Father, I've heard that Jesus, You died on a cross for me as punishment for my sin. You took the hit for me. And Your mercy is here today. Your compassion is here today. Your love is here today. And I want to invite You into my life right here, right now. Today, today's a different day. Today's a new day forward for me. Jesus, come into my life. Father, forgive me of my sins. And today becomes new.